Blog Talk Radio.
Just shut your big yapper!
whatever you
Hi out there, this is Andy Parker from UFO, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy and Jeff.
Hey, this is Donnie V. He used to be the singer for Enough's Enough, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff. What is it?
That's it. You got it.
Hi, this is Jason Butler, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
With Jeff and Tom.
Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on Hard Rock and Sports.
Hey, this is Big George Foreman, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sport. Don't you change.
Yeehaw! This is Jimbo Wallace from Reverend Horton Heat. You're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Rock on.
I can say right now, I can say, this is Joe Satriani. You are listening to Hard Rockin' Sports Radio with Tommy and Jeff. Go Jets!
Hey, everybody, this is Kasim Sultan, a very, very famous bass player, and you are listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy Florio and Jeff Talinsky.
Hey, this is Ken Aronoff. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hi, this is Mark Brenner, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on the Hard Rock and Sports Radio Show.
Hey, rock fans, Mark Gutscott from Trickster, hanging out my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom right here. Oh, hey, Rockin' Sports, you listen, crank it up.
Hey, everybody, this is Ross the Boss, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hey, this is Tommy John. You're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hi, this is Vinny Appice, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, this is Sean Peck from the Three Tremors. This is Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, sports fans, this is Punky Meadows from Angel, and my new solo album, Punky Meadows Fallen Angel. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports Radio Show with Tommy and Jeff.
There you go.
Don't miss it.
With the players.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from Higher Top Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. Welcome to our three-hour weekly get-together where we get to you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock and heavy metal. And thank you guys for tuning in. Today is February the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2022. And welcome back. We've had a week. It's been 2 weeks since we've been on the air with you guys. And I am pumped up to be here tonight. It's been a long 2 weeks. Lots of vacation. I've been on vacation for almost 2 weeks now from my regular day job, and I had the week off. We were in Florida last week. So there's been no, hey, Robert, what's up, buddy? How's things with my man Lenny Torselli? Any new music coming out? But anyway, we've been off for 2 weeks. We haven't been on since before the Super Bowl. So we'll get into a little bit of Super Bowl talk. We'll talk about Yankees, Mets, Major League Baseball. We got Judas Priest. We got Jeff Tate stuff going on tonight. We got football. Let's see what else we got tonight. We got some Olympics I want to get to tonight. We got Troy Aikman, Dave Menichetti. Lots of stuff to get to on the Hot Rocket Sports Show tonight. So welcome aboard, guys. And I miss you, everybody. And looking forward to getting on the air with my good pal Jeff Talwinski tonight and doing a little show. New album coming out. I say, no, you're a little bit of a collaboration, Robert, with Naha, as he's known to Lenny and Mr. Naharadni. So looking forward to that, Robert. Good to have your boy with us tonight. So listen, guys, I hope you guys have had a good 2 weeks. It's been great. I had a great vacation in Florida with my wife. We had a great time. Lots of rest. I started a project in the back room since I've been home, and it's taking every bit of energy out of me. Lots to talk about tonight. Hopefully we'll make it through 2.5 hours, but we'll see what happens. But either way, I'm glad to be back on the air. Looking forward to coming up on 8 years this July alongside my good partner and my best friend, Mr. Jeff Towinski. So, guys, sit back, relax, and get ready to be entertained for the next 2 hours plus, hopefully. But we will be back on the air regularly going forward. No vacations in plan, so hopefully we'll be on the air every Thursday night, Jeff and I. For the next 6 months, maybe we're planning a big shindig. I'm hoping to plan a big shindig for our 8th anniversary. I don't know what we're going to do, but whatever it is, we're going to do something big for 8, I think. Whether it's, who knows, maybe this is it. Maybe this will be the last year. Maybe this won't be the last year. I have no idea. I love doing this. I love doing it with my partner. And we got so much to talk about. Football, we got baseball, we got Judas Priest. We got so much to talk about tonight. So thank God I'm back on the air and looking forward to some good talk tonight. And let's get the show kicked off. And Robert, please, as soon as that album's ready, we'd love to play it on the air. And we'd love to have Lenny and Bill Naharodny, former Major League catcher, on the air with us. So hopefully you could set that up with my man Lenny, my Rosebank cousin. But guys, I've missed you all, and I'm looking forward to getting on the air tonight. So let's do it. Let's get this show started the only way I know how, and that's by bringing on the sexiest man on his side of the screen, my best friend of 40 years, and a hell of a bass player and a good human being, my man Jeff Towinski. There he is. What's up, Hefe?
What's up, man?
Dude, I am pumped to be on the air tonight.
I hear that. Would you have some candy before you got on?
A little candy tonight, yes. Yes, dude, I've been busting my ass. In the house, we got a little project going on in the Florida room. I did some demo. I'm doing some sheetrock right now. I got my dad. He's the most wonderful guy in the world. Busting his ass, putting in some electric for me. And I'm hoping to have a new Florida room in the next week or two.
Oh,
yeah. So all good. You're putting on the jet hat early tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a sign of things to come.
When you see the jet hat come out, that means that I have some news.
Hold on a second. So, Robert, you guys are going to have your own radio show. I'm hoping that Jeff and I will be invited on as a guest. We'd love to be a part of the anything that Lenny's doing and you're doing. But good to hear, and wish you guys luck. Hefe, we've been off the air for 2 weeks. We've talked, but we haven't really spent any time together. My man, I have to ask you the magic question. Jeff, how's your 2 weeks been?
It was a long week. We had a long week last week. This week wasn't as long, but, with the pending doom of a snowstorm coming tomorrow.
Now, tell me about it, Jeff. You probably know more than I do. I have not paid attention to the weather since it doesn't affect me right now. Although, I am going to a Elton John concert tomorrow night.
Where is that going to be?
At the Prudential Center in Newark.
Well, good luck. I hope you enjoy that. And as far as the snow goes...
Go ahead.
I believe that it should be rain by the time you're going, if it hasn't stopped by the time you're going tomorrow night. So hopefully the weather won't impact your plans, especially since Elton is getting up there.
Well, I'll tell you a funny quick story. So my wife, we had some friends. We had her brother and my sister-in-law over yesterday, I believe it was, at the house. And my wife says during the time that a song comes on the radio, we had the radio playing, and it's an Elton John song. She says, I want to see Elton John before he calls it a day. And I said, didn't say a word. It happened to be sitting there. She says, I'd love to see him. I want to see him at least once before he stops, touring. Dude, if I tell you 20 minutes later, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they leave. I sit on the couch, and on Channel 11 is a reporter who is reporting from Madison Square Garden for the Elton John concert. He's playing concert last night and tonight at the Garden. I had no idea. So he's like, yes, Elton John starting his final tour. So I'm like, holy cow, how could I? That's like a sign. No, I mean, my wife says it, and then 20 minutes later, on TV is a reporter from the Elton John side. So I go on StubHub, and I find 2 tickets for tomorrow night. I won't even tell you what I paid to go to the... Huh?
Over 1,000?
No. Just short of it, but yeah, not that far off. But short of $1,000, get 2 decent seats. Well, you know, it's like this. I was looking at some seats in the bleachers, and they were like $250, almost $300 each. So for a couple of bucks more, we're sitting downstairs in good seats, front row of our section. And, you know, it's something nice for my wife. She's a big Elton John fan. And I said, you know what? We did go on vacation, but, you know, since we've been back, we haven't done a blessed thing other than work our ass off in the spare room. And I thought it'd be a nice thing to do. So I am...
Well, it's without a doubt a nice thing to do. And knowing you, I know that you would do things like that.
Yes.
And don't pay attention to my wife, whatever you do.
I have it to love your wife. She is the sweetest woman in the world.
I do too. Just block her out. Don't pay attention. We don't know you, strange woman. Anyway,
yes.
The thought that you want to take your wife out, that's really cool. That's
yes.
Nice. But that much for tickets, man. Wow. Sharon, stop.
You know, Jeff, I agree with you. Listen, I agree with you. And there's a...
I know you can hear me. Stop
oh,
shit.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 609-409-8115 is not available at this time. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press.
Hello?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 609-409-8115 is not available at this time. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. We did not get your message, either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2.
So that's good.
Are you still there? We did not get your message, either because you were not speaking or because of...
Let's see. Hey, Pop?
Hey, Tom.
There he is. Okay, now we got my dad. Hey, Pop, what's going on?
What happened, man?
I don't know. My computer's having all sorts of problems. Like it's just... something with my outlet behind my desk. It just keeps shutting off. What's going on, Dad?
No, not much. I'm glad I got through. I was wondering what was going on. No, nothing. I just listened to you guys. Hey,
uh-huh.
I heard the weather. You hear me?
Yeah, Dad, you're good.
Yeah, you sound like
you're
an echo. Yeah, they said
no,
you're supposed
good,
to be a coating or an inch. Not supposed to, and it's more up north than it is by us, so you should get a good night tomorrow.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that. What's on your mind this week, Pop? What do you want to talk about?
No, I was listening to the news, and they're talking about retiring Paul O'Neill's number.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
just thought, I mean, I like the Steinbrenners, but they cheapened, I think, the Yankees. Everybody in his gram, they got no more numbers left. I mean,
well,
I like Paul O'Neill. I thought he was a
yeah.
good ball player. But
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't put him in the same category with some of the greats. And Posada, Bernie Williams, Phil Rizzuto, Billy Martin. I mean, come on. How many people you go? Why don't you just retire everybody?
Yeah, it is a little sad. I got to be honest with you. I mean, Jeff, I don't know if you paid attention to that all week. But the Yankees have decided to retire Paul O'Neill's jersey number. And what I didn't realize, guys, is that it's only been given out one time since O'Neill retired. I can't think of the player's name. He was honoring Roberto Clemente with it, so they gave it to him for that. But it was only for a year or two. Yeah, you know what, Jeff? You know, my father's on the money on this one. I love Paul O'Neill, a good player, maybe even a great player, but not a historic player for the Yankees. And to keep retiring these jersey numbers for guys who were just good players or even semi-great players, Jeff, it just cheapens the whole thing.
I agree because, you know, eventually one day you're going to see, you know, a Yankee starting lineup that keep doing all these lower numbers, which is what they started with.
Yep.
And you're going to see, you know, guys in the 60s and 70s and 80s, some of the numbers, because they ain't going to have many to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I agree. Baseball players, you know, their numbers shouldn't be that high in the first place. It just doesn't seem right. Certain sports, basketball, baseball, the numbers shouldn't go that high. That's more for, hockey and football.
I agree. And, Pop, you know, I mean, Paul O'Neill's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I like Paul O'Neill. But, you know, at some point, it's got to mean something when you retire a jersey number. And you know, while O'Neill spent a good amount of time with the Yankees and he had a good career, at some point, you just, you know, it cheapens the whole thing.
I agree with you. I said, I think I was talking to you the other day when I said, if you're going to retire numbers like that, you know, how many World Series you want? What happened to Bobby Richardson? What happened to Hank Bauer? I mean, there's so many guys. Hector Lopez, Louis Arroyo. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I mean, it just takes away from the, you know, Posada. I mean, Posada, don't get me wrong. He was a decent catcher. He wasn't great. There were a lot of guys in the league much better than he was.
Yep.
He really was. He was. He became a good hitter, and he got a little better defensively.
Yep.
But I don't know. I guess they have to have a day.
That's really all it's about, Jeff. And, you know, here's the sad part. You know, Jeff, when you look at it, you know, when you get when you start putting Paul O'Neill in the same category as Gehrig and Ruth and Mickey Mantle and DiMaggio, you know, you kind of cheapen the theory. Don't you think the Yankees come up? I mean, put a plaque, which he already has, put a plaque out there for the guy, which I think he's earned. You know, you could do a Ring of Honor almost, but to retire his number and put it away forever for a guy who was a really good player, you know, kind of cheapens the whole thing when you put him up against the guys who really deserve it.
How many years was he on the Yankees?
94. Yeah, he was 94 through 2001, so 7-8 years.
All right, so it wasn't more than that. Two or three seasons.
No, Dad, he retired in 2001, and he came up and he was either 93 or 94, so it was only 8 or 9 years he was a Yankee.
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was more.
Yeah, that he came up. He came to the Yankees in 93 or 94, right at the end of time.
Yeah, for Roberto Kelly.
Correct, exactly right. So, yeah, Jeff.
Well, at least it wasn't somebody that was on the Yankees for like two or three seasons. He was there for, you know, over 5 seasons, almost 10 seasons. I understand what you're saying, but you want to know something, Tom? It just, I think overall level of expectations, level or however you want to put it, of players in today's game, so much different compared to the players in the game years ago. You're never going to see some of the players that perform like they did in the past. So, you know what, if it's you're lowering the level of the player, period, so then I guess the criteria to get your number retired is going to be even less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's got to start, Jeff, with being a Hall of Famer. If you're not a Hall of Fame player, regardless of what you did for the Yankees, I can't put you in that category to get your number retired. You need to spend most, if not all, of your career as a Yankee, and you need to be a Hall of Famer before I'm ready to retire your number.
Well, did he spend, what did he spend, about half his career with the Yankees?
I would say probably a little more than three quarters, probably around three quarters of his career. He started out with the Reds.
He was a Cincinnati Red, right?
Yeah.
It was just those two teams he played for?
Correct, yes.
I mean, at least this wasn't a guy that bounced around, that played 2 years here, got traded, played there, was in the minors for a season, came back up for two, got, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's, so it's 17-year career, guys. Came up in 85 with the Reds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years with the Reds. And then 1, 2, probably 8 years with the Yankees. So, you know, again, half a career, which is good. But it's not even a Hall of Fame career, Jeff. It's got to be Hall of Fame before I'm thinking about retiring your number.
Well, you know, getting your number retired from your team is one thing. A Hall of Fame career is something completely else.
Do you believe that though, Dad? Do you agree with that? Do you think that, you know, you can have a not Hall of Fame career altogether, but yet be retired number for your team?
Well, I think what's the standard that you're using?
Correct.
And obviously, the Steinbrenners feel anybody that played in the 90s, from the early 90s till 2000, 2002. Mm-hmm. Those were the greatest ball players because theoretically, besides, you know, they're not taking anybody. Again,
right.
I mentioned names. You know, you had third baseman, Clint Boyer, Tony Kubek, Bobby Richardson. We could go down the line, and none of these guys were picked to retire their number. So what
yeah.
standard are you using? You're only using the standards for today. I mean, Roger Maris, I mean, he was a good ball player, but I don't think he was, you know. Come on, I mean, ridiculous.
I agree, but I think the most egregious one, and Jeff, I'll let you go, is probably Reggie. Reggie Jackson played 5 years as a Yankee and gets his number retired. You know, I think that's probably
yeah,
the most egregious one.
Come on, he had two World Series victories, the three home runs in one World Series game. If it wasn't for Reggie Jackson, the Yankees even make it to the World Series in those 77, 78. He wasn't there in 76, was he?
No, 76 he was playing for the Orioles.
All right, so, I mean, think of it that way. Did the Yankees even make the World Series in 77 and 78 without Reggie Jackson, much less win?
You know, I don't know. Listen, that was a really good – those were some really good teams. I agree with you, 77, he carried the Yankees, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, if you're going to use that, then all the guys who spent won four championships with the Yankees – from 96 through 2001, you know, all those guys would be on would be retired numbers. So, listen, I agree with you. I think Reggie did a lot for the Yankees. You could put a plaque up there, but to retire his number for only playing 5 years of a nearly 20-year career as a Yankee, you know, as a ball player, I have a hard time with that, Jeff.
Well, I mean, don't forget too. He was one of the first really big free agents too.
Yes, he was the biggest. Yeah, of catfish actually. Yeah,
there
catfish.
Was a lot of different reasons that you could go at and be. He was one of the first free agents. He helped the Yankees win two World Championships in a row.
Yep,
he hit the three home runs in one game. You know, historic home runs. I mean, you watch that. Watch that YouTube clip. It's about 2 minutes long, 3 minutes long, and. You know, you watch that, I'd be retiring his number if he never played another game for the Yankees, the way the stadium reacted and everything else when you see that.
Oh, that you know, Dad, what do you think? Do you feel that Reggie was a big enough
well,
Yankee?
Well, he it's very hard in baseball to say somebody carried you that much. Then Chris Chambliss should have had his number retired. He should be a plaque up on the wall for that home run he hit.
Yeah.
To win the pennant. I mean, I understand, and I'm not taking anything away from Reggie Jackson. Now, do I think he was a superstar? Personality-wise, I didn't. But if you go by personality-wise, half of the guys in the world in the Hall of Fame shouldn't be in there. Okay?
I agree with that.
I can slide with him, you know. But, I mean, if you go down the list of all the ball players, Phil Rizzuto was a good ball player. He was... nothing, and he retired his number. He's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, come on, that's politics.
I agree with that. It's politics. So listen, I don't have a problem with it. I think this Paul O'Neill thing is nothing more than a way to have a big day and people to show up. To me, you know, you can do a lot of things for Paul O'Neill, and I think Paulie was a really good player, maybe a great player. But I just don't put him at that level of, all-time great where, to me, the retired numbers should be guys like Gehrig and Mantle and DiMaggio, guys who just were immortals, where you say, I don't even put Jeter in that category on a limited basis. But, to me, Paul O'Neill just doesn't equate to that. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Even if you want to have the debate, you can't debate Paul O'Neill as a Hall of Fame player. You can debate him as a great Yankee, but you can't. And if you can't debate him as a Hall of Fame player, I can't possibly say nobody's allowed to wear his jersey number because it's too important to have that to have that distinction. You know what I mean?
Well, how many World Series teams was he on?
He played on five World Series teams. Well, he played on five. He lost in 2001.
He won four.
Correct.
He won four. Yeah,
yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yep.
Think of that, what you just said right there. How many players in today's game are going to walk out of there at the end of their career with four World Series victories?
I agree, but he wasn't even the best player on those four teams.
But did he have a hand in helping these teams win? Did he do something in the playoffs? Did he do something that during the season? Was there a particular catch or something, a moment that...
Yes, of course. Yes. He had a couple of them.
You can't split hairs over this. It gives the people something. Let's put it this way. The team hasn't given anybody a World Series championship in, 20 years?
No, they won in 2009 was the last championship.
2009, so you're talking
12 years.
12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago.
Yep.
It's about time they gave something, so they retired a number.
Yeah, listen, I get it. They did it last year with Bernie Williams, and they've done it with Posada. And they're good players. It's just, again, I'm a stickler like my dad. And, Dad, you and me are kind of like... Jeff, if you want to put up a plaque in center field or on a wall, like a museum and say, hey, Paulie was a great Yankee, was a warrior, as they call him, I'm all for it. But when you take his number out of circulation and say, he was so good that nobody's allowed to wear his jersey anymore, at that point, he's got to be a little bit more than just a really good or almost great player. So that's how I feel, Pops.
I agree with you. And the only way I would compare it to, if you really want to, take Paul O'Neill and put him to some of the older, say, would you compare him to Yogi Berra? Would you compare him to Mickey Mantle, to Babe Ruth, to Lou Gehrig? No, you wouldn't put him on the same platform.
No, not at all.
So you're giving him the same honor.
I agree with you on that. That's the problem I have. Yeah. I don't put him in that category. But that's okay. Listen, not everybody's in that category like Jeff said. Yeah, it is what it is.
All right. I'll let you guys go. Tommy, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
I'll give you
a call first.
Yep.
Okay. And Jeff, take care. Say hello to everybody in your family. Have a good one.
Yep. That's my dad. He checks in almost every week with us. He's been off the air with us for a while. He's been a little down, Jeff, that he wasn't on with us.
Unfortunately, he missed. I remember the last week he missed, but last week there was no show to come on.
That's true. So he's happy to be back tonight. So, Jeff, let's kick it off. We got a lot to talk about tonight, you and I. We have plenty to talk about. I got a lot of things on the script. Before I get to the Olympics and all the other shit I want to get to, I want to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. And I know we did a lot of stuff on the Sunday Audible show, which we did last week. We did Monday night, as a matter of fact. I forgot it was Monday night with John, myself, and you. And let's just talk about a little bit about the Super Bowl on the Hard Rocket Sports Show. So, how would you describe, you watched the game, when you came away from it, give me your thoughts on what the Super Bowl felt like to you this year.
I would have put it in the rank of a good game. Not a classic.
Correct. I agree with that.
Not really a nail biter.
Nope.
But a good game. They pretty much went back and forth. I thought the AFC Championship game, the AFC Divisional game between Buffalo and Kansas City was a better game than the Super Bowl.
That was probably the best game of the whole playoffs. Would you agree?
Yeah. But I enjoyed the Super Bowl. I enjoyed it a lot more than previous Super Bowls, so I had no problem with it. And, I wouldn't have changed much. I feel as though the referees let the teams play. Maybe they missed a call or two, but, if you're going to let them play, you let them play.
I agree with that.
That's what happened. So I think that it was a good game. Uh-huh. It's not going to be one that they're going to be talking about in 20 years.
No,
sure.
No, definitely not. I agree with that.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I just thought the referees, they did a great job for about 3 3/4 of the game, and I thought they got just a little too involved at the very end. And that was my problem with it. I thought they did a great job. They let the teams play, didn't nitpick the calls until it was late. And then I think, in my opinion, Jeff, the referees decided that game with a very bad pass interference penalty on the Bengals middle linebacker Wilson, and I thought that was a game changer. You know, they don't call that. It's 4th and 8, 2 minutes and change left in the game, from the fourth and goal from the 8-yard line. I think that's a big change in the way that game's played at that point. So I am disappointed that the referees got involved at that point. But you're right. Nobody's going to talk about this game 2 years from now.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't that kind of game.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You know, I was just happy that it wasn't a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick game one way or another.
Yep.
They're playing against one another, or there they are in the Super Bowl again. It was like getting redundant after a while.
Yeah.
Like, who really wants to watch these guys play again? But yeah. You know what? It was two different teams. I keep saying about Matthew Stafford,
mm-hmm.
Maybe too little too late in his career.
Yep.
That we'll never know what could have been if he was with a better team. And, you know, Joe Burrow, you got to hope that he don't get Dan Marino disease.
Yeah.
And play one in his lifetime, and then that's it, and never go back. Like, you know, Ken Anderson, other Bengal quarterback, Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
They played on some pretty good teams, made it to the Super Bowl once, and that was it. You know, never got the chance to get there again.
You know, Jeff, it's a great point. And, you know, before the season, and I don't remember if we did, but I'm pretty sure I did. I think I blasted the Bengals for not drafting the couple of the big – one of them was a guy you guys drafted in the kid, what's his name?
USC.
Yeah, for the Jets. Yeah, the guard. There was another guy, the kid also got drafted. I'm blanking on names. But I kind of blasted the Bengals for not going out and protecting Joe Burrow and instead taking Ja'Marr Chase, which, again, they were right. They don't get to the Super Bowl. That combination was a great combination. So I guess it worked out. But if you look at that game now, their offensive line and the way they played hurt them and probably cost them the win in that game because they, like you said, maybe I said before, our key to the game was can the Bengals stop Aaron Donald and that defensive line, and they couldn't. And that's what cost them the game.
Well, you know what? Maybe that offensive line cost them that game. You know, we'll never really know what happened.
No.
If they didn't have Chase,
yep.
Do they even make the leap?
That's
from four wins to whatever it is that they won.
That is the great point. Yeah, that is a great point.
Got themselves in the position to get into the Super Bowl. what are you going to say? I'd rather win 7 games and have only given up 15 sacks, or gave up 45 sacks and almost got this kid killed a couple times, but we played in the World Series, the Super Bowl. So I'm sure just about anybody would sign up for the Super Bowl tomorrow.
I agree. No, I think you're right. At the end of the day, it worked out because they got to a Super Bowl, which they probably wouldn't have without Chase. The kid is phenomenal, and it's a great pairing together. They did a great job. I would think, though, if you're the Bengals, and we'll start doing some mock drafts and we'll start breaking down teams' needs, I would think if you're the Bengals and you're going to pick very late in the draft, unless they move up, they need to shore up that offensive line going into next year.
Listen, they'd be stupid if they didn't. They got a playmaker.
Yep.
You know, you would have to definitely, without a doubt, do something with the offensive line. You would be retarded if you didn't do something with the offensive line. Either free agents. I don't know what their cap situation is.
Yeah, neither do I.
Draft or whatever, free agency. But, yeah, you have to address it one way or another. I mean, listen, I wouldn't say taking Chase was a shot in the dark.
No.
You know, this was two people that had a rapport together. You didn't have to wait for it to develop. They developed it 2 years prior.
Yep.
So I actually think that it was a smart move. Some quarterback receiver tandems never pan out, and you know, you have the diva receivers, and it's like, well, this guy just is all about himself. You know, look at Antonio Brown, what he did. Walked off the field in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
You know, because of whatever was going through his mind at the time. And then, you know, he keeps, every once in a while, there's an article services that, you know, he says this, he says that, and I want to play again. And who the fuck is going to draft you, man? Who's going to, I mean, I'll not draft, to sign you.
Yeah.
Who's going to sign you? There's something wrong with you. You sabotage your career.
Yeah.
In the middle of a game.
Yeah.
Are you insane?
Yeah, and you know, the scary part is somebody will sign him, but you know what, Jeff? I mean, do you
think... I don't know about that, Tom.
You don't think so? You don't?
No, because he went from Pittsburgh to L.A., and then didn't he go to somebody else after L.A., and then he ended up with the Patriots?
Well, he wound up with... He went from Pittsburgh to Oakland, from Oakland to the Patriots...
Okay.
From the Patriots to Tampa Bay,
Tampa Bay. After he, you know,
yeah.
So you got to think he got out of Pittsburgh, he bunged down with the Raiders, but
yeah.
He couldn't get his helmet.
Yeah,
they got rid of him before he even played a preseason game, I believe. He made it over to the Patriots.
Yep.
He didn't stay there long.
Nope.
And then he goes to the Buccaneers, but he couldn't play a game until he served his penalty. For the sexual harassment or whatever it is that he did.
Yep.
All right, so you had that going on. And then he walks off in the middle of the field. You're a coach and you're a receiver away. And somebody says, well, Antonio Brown is available. You're going to take the chance and sign this guy?
Maybe. Yeah.
What are you signing to?
I don't know. I would guess at this point, every deal he gets is going to be a one-year show-me deal, no?
Well, a one-year deal, but what are you talking money-wise? What are you talking money-wise on a time box?
$12 million? $10 million?
That's a lot of money, man. Well, for some teams, that's a lot of money.
I agree with you, but you know what? Well, I mean, you think? I mean, he's not signing for the veterans minimum, which is probably a couple $1 million. So you got to think it's somewhere between $5 and $10 million, right?
Well, probably closer to $10 million, but
I agree.
At this point in time, if you're Antonio Brown, you may have no choice, but you want to play, you may have no choice but to take the veterans.
Oh, I agree with that. I just think he winds up on a team. If any team's going to sign him, it's going to be a team that thinks they're one player, you know, a third receiver, a fourth receiver away from winning a title. I don't know who that would be at this point in time, but it's going to be somebody. And I honestly don't believe he'll get a signing until either close to the end or end of training camp, you know, where teams are searching to finish their roster up.
And you know, I see Frank has joined us, so we'll get him involved in the conversation. But how about this? He's not a number one anymore.
No.
He's not a number two.
At best, he's a three.
Well, is he the slot receiver? Is he a third down? Is he what is he?
Slot receiver, third best guy in the bunch, at best.
And is he going to want to be that?
I think he'll accept any role that gets him the most money he can get his hands on. I don't think it's about playing football. I think right now it's about he's got a championship. I think now it's about putting money away, if you're asking me. That's my opinion.
I don't know. I think he has enough money. And these receivers, they don't seem to let go of who they are and what they do too easy. You know.
No, I agree with that.
The
yeah.
world knows that he's, 31? Or so.
Easy, yeah, I would say easy, yeah, 31.
I don't think that he knows that. He didn't get the memo. He's still Superman.
You think so?
You know how these receivers are, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a very interesting offseason. He is 33 years old, Jeff. Last year, he made $14 million.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it.
Frankie, I don't disagree with that. I do think that Amari Cooper is on the threshold of being let go. I think Dallas has some salary cap issues, so that's going to be an interesting how they play it out this year. But I think right now, and we're going to get to a little later, but I think the biggest thing, Jeff, right now is I don't think I've ever seen such a big turnover or as many openings or possibilities in the quarterback position as I do this year. I mean, there are a ton of teams. I'll rattle off a couple for you. You got the Saints. Green Bay is up in the air. Tampa, the Texans, Frisco, Miami.
Mike, what's up, man?
Yeah, it's up, Mike. There are so many teams, Kirk Cousins, Rodgers, Tua. Tampa Bay. There's so many teams and quarterbacks that are out there right now. I can't remember a year that there's this many teams and quarterbacks with such a drop. You know, where so many teams are in a flux. You know what I mean? And there's actually two teams that are still trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, and that's crazy because his depositions for 9 of 22 of his accusers has been pushed to July, Jeff.
Yeah, wow, pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, I mean, teams that are still willing. There's two teams willing to trade for him. They didn't name them. I think one of them right now is Carolina, but he refuses to go there.
So why would they even bother trading for him?
Well, that's the problem is that I think he's got a no trade. So, you know, he's got nine. He can give a deposition in only 9 of 22 because the rest of them are criminal cases. The nine that he's been okay to testify in are just civil cases. It's crazy. There's no way in the world this is going to be resolved before the season starts. And now you're talking about close to two full seasons without him playing a down of football. How crazy is this?
Listen, you got to tell me that the Texans aren't banging their fucking heads against the wall thinking that they should have traded him for something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, with everything that's going on, it's just unbelievable. You know, like, what are you going to – even if he goes through the depositions
– yep.
Then the NFL is going to fucking get their hands on him.
That's the point. That's the point I was making is that at some point the NFL, and again, he got paid for full pay last year. Now, you know, now you're talking about at some point the NFL is going to jump in and either give him a suspension or fines. At this point, how does the NFL even let him back on the field with 22 people accusing him of that? How do they even let him back on the field?
Well, you know what? Listen, you don't know what the whole situation is.
No, I don't.
We got to let that play out.
Yep.
So we have to assume that he's innocent until proven guilty.
True.
You know the bullshit there.
Yep.
But how about this? The Texans, I don't know. Did anybody hit the clock on his contract? Does the time continue to tick off his contract?
It does because they paid him for this year. He was an active player on their team list.
One year.
So his contract keeps running. I don't know what his deal is, where he's at, but that was an active year for him. So it's not like his contract is on hold right now.
Okay, so if he goes into 2022 and he's still on the team, but he's not playing and they choose to pay him, this is time coming off his contract. He wants to be off the team. What happens if that team eventually slaps him with a franchise tag? Can they trade him while he's franchised?
Well, I think in his current contract, he has a no-trade clause. So no matter what his status is, he can't be traded without him saying yes.
Well, I understand that, but my point being is this.
Uh-huh.
If they just let him go, say the end of 2022.
Yep.
That's it. There's nothing else that's going to be done. There's nobody can say anything. His contract is up. He walks away. Texans get nothing. But if the Texans slap him with the franchise tag,
yep.
Yeah, now they're paying him big money and everything else, but it's a one-year deal. We know that. But now they still control where he can go. I understand he has a no-trade clause.
Right.
But you know what? If this guy wants to play football, maybe he's going to open up his mind to a few other teams. So, you know, now if they turn around and say, well, we could trade you to the Indianapolis Colts, maybe in the past he would have said no, but he's like, you know, I got to get out of here. I just need to start fresh. I'm out. I'll take it. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm asking about.
Good question. Yeah. Now, here's his draft status, Jeff. This year, he is a $35 million base salary plus $5 million signing bonus. His cap hit this year is $40 million. For $40 million. He is signed through 2025. He gets $40 million this year, $42 million next year, $37 million next year, and then $32 million in 2025.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money for a guy who might not play football ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, obviously if he gets caught, there's cap hits, dead cap hits. He's got roster bonuses coming up. There's all sorts of crap in that, but you know, but you know the funny part? I don't think he's the deciding factor on what happens in the offseason. I think the biggest factor is going to be is what happens to Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay? Is he going to retire? Is he going to go? Is he going to go someplace else? And where would he want to go? I think there's only two places. Frankie brought it up. He's getting his orange number 12 jersey ready because he thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver. I think it's either Denver or Frisco. Any chance he retires?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he would have done it. I think he would have said it if he was going to retire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think...
And let me ask you something. Everybody's all happy about him going to Denver, especially the Denver fans like Frank, but why? Why do you want Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be, what, 38, 39 years
39,
old?
39, I think, this year.
Roethlisberger just retired at the same age, okay, and left and walked away from the game because he couldn't play no more. One day Aaron Rodgers is going to wake up and he's going to be like, well, gee, I can't throw the ball nearly as far as I was once able to. It's going to happen.
No, I agreed. Agreed. But look at Brady, 44 years old. The guy threw for 5,000 yards. If I was, if I'm Frisco or Denver, if I'm taking.
He's just going to New York Giants. He's a fucking champ.
Well,
grace to the NFL.
And I don't think, I'm not necessarily throwing out the deal that he won't be back this year. I think Tampa Tom is not done. I think he might play again this year. But I think the only place he'd go to is Frisco. I don't think he'll go back. For some reason, he seems to have soured on Tampa, Jeff. It seems like him and Arians are not on the same page anymore.
Because he's a fucking...
here we go. But Aaron Rodgers, no. I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers was the MVP of the league this year. If I'm Denver, if I am Frisco... And Aaron Rodgers is out there to be gotten, I'd be going getting him right now. So I would take that. If I'm either one of those two teams, I take it. Yeah, all right, yeah, yeah. The most overrated quarterback in history.
There he is.
There he is.
The man that united a world.
Yeah, there it is, yeah.
Name it, right there.
Yeah.
Watch, yeah. He has something to say. Tom, you're a dick. You really mean that, Joe? Yeah.
That's what Joe had to say. Well, I think those are the big moves. There's a lot. Listen, the Saints have a lot up in the air. What do the Vikings do? Where does Kirk Cousins? I hear Kirk Cousins to Indianapolis. Wentz is on the outs, which is not surprising. Where does Wentz go? Does Wentz get another starting job someplace, or does he become?
How about Wentz going to Carolina?
The problem they have is they have salary cap issues, and no matter what, they owe Sam Darnold $18 million. Who owes
that? $18 million. So what better to get a veteran on a fucking one-year prove-it contract? You can't tell me that you're going to take – if you're Matt Rhule, you're not going to risk employment by throwing Sam Darnold out there. Sam Darnold is the – I said from when he got drafted with the Jets – that this guy was not the fucking answer.
No, I got it, but the problem is I believe that Carson Wentz is not a free agent, Jeff. Well, I'm looking at it right now. Carson Wentz makes $28 million this year, $26 next year, $27 the year after with salary, with roster bonuses and all that stuff. So you're going to take him and you're talking about almost $50 million for two quarterbacks on your roster if you brought him over to Carolina. You know,
yeah, but how much longer is Donald on for?
Just one more year.
One more year. So if you're paying him or whatever, you get rid of him.
See,
you're
to me,
tell me you'd rather Sam Donald than Carson Wentz.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. The problem for them is they'd have to find a way to trade Sam Donald to a team that could eat his salary and then take Wentz on. I'm not disagreeing. If I was picking.
Do phenomenal things with this money and this salary cap.
Yeah.
And some teams have no problem at all cutting somebody that's making that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just absorbing the hit. It's just like, oh, well.
Yeah, Carolina's not.
I know I'm going down the street. I'm going to get hit, but I'm doing it. Fuck it. And they do it.
No, I get it. There's certain teams that can do it. But Frankie, by the way, here's my problem with Cousins. I think he's a good player, but he's not that worth that kind of hit. What has he done in this league? When has he won the big game to take his team to another level that would constitute paying him $30 million or better a year? I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I just don't think he's a quarterback that I would take to put me over the top. That's the problem with Cousins.
That's why he's not getting take me over the top money, Tom.
Not anymore.
$30 million. You think about what $30 million is in today's quarterback market.
I agree.
You know, it's...
But he started this off, Jeff. He's the guy who kicked this off.
I understand that. But they also signed him to that deal, what, 4 years ago? And you thought that he had a chance to do that. He had two good years in Washington, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he had a couple good years in Washington.
He was on some shitty teams over there. He ends up going off as a free agent after playing, what, 2 years on a franchise tag, I believe it was.
Yep.
And then here he is. And you know, listen, he didn't do terrible in Minnesota. No. You know.
Well, he's got
but he didn't do terrible.
He's got a contract for this year only, $45 million dead cap space. So he's going to be a Minnesota Viking unless they can find a way to trade him. So,
you know, they could trade him and rework his deal too.
True. Again, see, now for him going to Indianapolis might not be a terrible move. I think they're done with Wentz, and him going to Indianapolis would be a pretty decent move. He's not a bad quarterback, Jeff. He's not a guy. He's been overpaid, and he's not a guy who's going to be the final piece to the puzzle. He's just a guy who'll do a decent job and not get you killed.
Oh, man, the last one you want is Donald, bro.
Oof, or Wentz, either one of those, Frankie.
I'd rather Wentz than Donald.
I agree with that. I'm with you on that. But I think, Jeff, over the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot of stuff with these quarterbacks. Can you ever remember a year in the last, let's just make it the last 10 years, where we've had this many teams and this many quarterbacks with question marks?
No, and there's a couple that I'm watching, Tom. A couple I'm watching.
Which ones?
You know who.
Oh, here we go. 2 weeks off.
I'm waiting for the cards to fall.
It's not going to fall.
Waiting for the cards to fall.
DJ Danny Dimes is the Giant quarterback for this season. For a lot of reasons. Listen, the Giants don't have a choice. He's going to have to be their quarterback. They don't have any money, and he will be their quarterback this year. Now, will he be their quarterback in 23? Huh?
Glad you said that about no money.
Why is that?
Because they have one of the worst cap situations. Quietly have built up one of the worst cap situations
in
the league.
100%.
Nobody has said anything about it.
No, there's been plenty written about it. I read about it just the other day in the paper. And it said they're going to have to either make some cuts on guys that they need to keep, guys like Bradbury, what's his name, the middle linebacker, Blake Martinez, who I love. But these are guys who, you know, Sterling Shepard, there's some guys out there they're going to have to make some serious thoughts on who are good players. But, you know, they've backed themselves into a corner. They've got bad salary cap. And the Giants are going to be tough. And, you know, and it's tough for Danny Jones because he might not have the best team around him in a year where he has to produce or probably wind up on the scrap heap after this year.
Here's the best thing that can happen for Daniel Jones.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Here we go. Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, I'm dead serious.
You're dead serious? That makes me feel much better.
Danny Jones is he gets cut.
That's not the best thing to happen to Danny Jones.
The best thing in the world for Daniel Jones is that he gets cut.
Why is that?
The reason I tell you that is because Danny Dimes in the USFL, Danny Dimes in the CHFL, Catholic High School Football
there
League.
There we go.
Okay?
There we go. Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because everything that you just said, okay, he's going to be playing on a team with no fucking flexibility, no nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, they're going to be dropping players left and right.
That's true.
He is going to be the bridge quarterback between this team sucks to this team really sucks. Till it's not even close to getting better because they're not going to be able to afford anything. He's going to get beat up for a year or two. Somebody's going to turn around and be like, this guy's not the answer. He's going to get cut and he's going to be a third stringer. And you know it. So the best thing that they can do for him is to cut him now. Because the next couple of years in the New York Giants is going to be worse than it was this year.
Let me know when you're done. First of all, Paxton Lynch just got cut in the CFL, I believe, by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they rough-rided him, all right.
Yeah, he just got cut, Paxton Lynch. Two, Danny Jones will be the Giant quarterback this season. Then who knows? But the Giants cannot afford a decent veteran. They will not draft anybody in this draft because they have too many other issues, and any decent quarterback in this draft will go very early. So Daniel Jones will be the quarterback for the Giants this year.
He's going to get batted like a porn star sphincter this year.
He might just be. I think Danny Jones has got a chance, but he might not have the ability based on the fact that the Giants are missing.
What chances do you see Danny Jones having?
A small chance. He's going to have to go out there.
What is the chance? What is it that you see going right for Danny Jones?
Well, it's like this. It's like anything else. You know, you can be a good quarterback on a bad team and your abilities stand out, but you're not surrounded by enough talent. He needs to stay healthy for the entire season, keep the mistakes to a minimum, and show some spunk out there as far as his ability. If you go out there and he spends half the year on IR, or he throws a ton of interceptions and fumbles, then he won't be the quarterback in 2023.
No, he ain't going to be the quarterback for the New York Giants.
We'll see. I don't know that. I'm rooting for him. I'm hoping he does well enough. But we'll see. But, you know, listen, there's a lot of teams. The Giants are not a team with a quarterback controversy right now. They have a quarterback in place because they have no choice but to have a quarterback in place because they can't afford to do anything else. That's just the way it is. They're not Tampa, who doesn't have a quarterback. They're not the Saints. They're not, you know, a lot of the other teams. The Texans, there's tons of teams out there who have no quarterback, let alone having their number one pick of 3 years ago on the way. And yes, USFL is about to kick off in April. It's kind of crazy, but the USFL will be kicking off. We'll be talking about USFL football in the coming weeks. So stand by on that one. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom.
You know, there's something to consider, too, the USFL. How many of these quarterbacks that we're talking about are just going to say, I'm not going to stand a chance?
Yeah.
NFL. I'm going to go over to the USFL. Carson Wentz is one of those.
Sure.
Danny Jones.
There's a lot of guys. Listen, Sam Darnold can wind up there. There's also the XFL kicking off in sometime soon. So there's going to be some places for players to get out there and show their wares and show that they've still got something in the tank. There's only been – the last guy I remember is that guy who played for the – Tommy Maddox went to the XFL 20 years ago and returned over his career and came back to the NFL and played really well. Doug Flutie did it by going to Canada and coming back, but doesn't happen very often, Jeff.
No, it doesn't happen very often, and then it makes you wonder, you know, like if some of these guys got the right chance and the right team, you know, maybe their NFL careers could have been a little bit different.
Sure.
You know, it sucks for a guy like Flutie.
Yeah.
I mean, he spent a number of years in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's more known for his time in the CFL.
Well, he had more success, but when he came back to the US, to the NFL, don't forget Doug Flutie was the reason why San Diego traded Drew Brees to the Saints, because Doug Flutie and the other kid who played really well out there. So, you know, Doug Flutie had a good NFL career, not a great one, came back, didn't win any, you know, Super Bowls, but Doug Flutie showed that he could be a good quarterback in this league. With San Diego and then with Buffalo. So,
too small anyway.
I don't know. But, he was no smaller than Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray is teetering on the brink of wasting an NFL career.
Kyler Murray will go play baseball.
Yeah, he might, because he's not putting enough effort into the NFL. And I've heard some stuff and seen some stuff out there where people are starting to question his motivation for the NFL. But that's for another show. But, Jeff, there's a lot of stuff going to happen in this offseason. I'm assuming in the next few weeks we'll start to see, you know, where these quarterbacks wind up. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. There'll be a lot of movement this year, as there always seems to be right now in the NFL. A lot of veteran guys will wind up on different teams, and we'll have some fun with that. We'll start some mock drafts. We got the draft coming up in the end of April. So hang in, guys, for the Hard Rockets Sports Show. We're going to cover it all. We love the football end of it. Let me ask you this real quick. You got your jet hat on?
I'm adjusting the hat. You know why?
Why?
Because I've done a mock.
Oh, right? you have?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, before you do your mock, before you give me your mock, your Jets have two picks in the top 10, I think number 4 and number 10. Not players. Give me the two positions you would like to see the Jets draft with those two picks.
I don't know, man. You know why? Because
What are the two most important things for them to fix now?
They need so much stuff. But I guess the best thing for them to do would definitely be offensive line.
Uh-huh.
And maybe cornerback or defensive back of some kind.
Okay.
But I really think you have to see what they do in free agency to really accurately answer that question.
Well, they have some money to spend. So, the one thing I'll give Joe Douglas, he's done a good job of keeping the contracts down to the point where this year he's got a lot of money to spend. So he can do a little fixing.
He doesn't do it so that he has a lot of money to spend. He does it because he's cheap. And he doesn't want to sign one of the top A-tier free agents. He's going after C and D level free agents.
Well, he did sign Shaq Lawson last year, even though Shaq got hurt. But, there was a big signing there. So
the guy didn't even get to play.
No, again, you can't blame him for signing a guy who wound up going out and blowing out an Achilles.
No, of course not. But what you can do is maybe sometimes go after a premium player. You know what? The fans don't want grunts. Okay? They do not want grunts. They don't want grunts. Nobody wants a grunt. Okay? Sometimes you got to go out there and make a splash.
Okay.
Even if the splash, you're only going to get, you're going to sign him for 5 years, he's going to be worth it for two. Okay? Maybe a third year, and you know that you're going to eat the last 2 years. But you need to make that splash. Look at C.J. Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple good years. He was off a year because of COVID. He came back. He had a good year last year. All right, so he was a name. You spend money on a name. I don't know if he's under contract for this year or not. I believe he is
signed for this year.
Last year.
He might be, yes. I agree with that, yeah.
But you know what? You made a splash.
Correct.
And he got some returns on him. I'm not saying you got to go after a guy that's 33, 34 years old. And be like, I'm going to take a chance on him. But you know what? Make a splash. Take somebody. Take the name. Go after a name. Give the fans a name. Because then they'll be like, oh, okay, nobody heard of some. Some of the people never heard of some of these guys before that he goes after.
Yeah.
You need an offensive lineman. See who's available. That kid Quentin Nelson is going to be available. Is that the one? No. Is Quentin Nelson the one from Washington?
No, that was... Yes, exactly. But Quentin Nelson was the guy who plays for the Colts.
Indianapolis.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So see what it might take to get Brandon Schriff here.
Yeah.
Just ask him. Just see what does it take. Okay. You can't just keep drafting guys and taking free agents that are like B-level free agents. You just can't. You can't.
Okay. Well, I think he's done a nice job of setting himself up to spend a little bit of free agent money. He's a player, yeah. I think to spend a little money in free agency, and I think this is a big year for Joe Douglas. He's got to at least bring some guys in who impact it. If he doesn't, they could be in a lot of trouble. Now, again, I don't know if they're still going to be good enough this year to be a playoff team. But he's got to bring in some guys through the draft and free agency to at least make an impact on this team.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. And you know what? If they become a free agent, if they become a playoff team, I think they'll be more than a playoff team. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they'll get into the playoffs. I think they can make some noise and win a game or two. But – because that's how much they need, that if they make it to that level.
Yeah, I got you.
They're going to be a team worthwhile.
Gotcha. No, I can understand what you're saying. And, guys, Hot Rocket Sports, Jeff Towinski, Tom Fleury here every Thursday night, 7 o'clock to 9:30. We got a lot to talk about over the next few weeks. We got plenty of football stuff. We got other stuff to get to. We're going to get off this topic and move on to some other stuff right now. But glad you guys checked in. And, by the way, I just want to offer our prayers to the people of the Ukraine, and even for our own country. This is all going to impact us, maybe not in the sense of true war, but you're going to see some spikes in gas prices, and a lot of your 401ks are going to take a beating right now. So let's hope that the commander in sleep wakes up and does the right thing here and steers us on a course of for the good. But I'm not holding out hope, but our prayers are out there for the people of Ukraine.
Let me ask you something, because I haven't spoken to many people
yep.
about it, because it just kind of happened last night into this morning.
Yep.
But what do you think is the right path to him to take us on, because you know it is a slippery, slippery slope, and he says it does the wrong thing. We could be right in the midst of this, and we could be witnessing the start of World War III. You know,
simply.
I think that it's getting a lot of attention because it's Ukraine.
Sure.
When it was Chimera, however you pronounce that other.
Yes. Crimea.
Nobody even said anything. There was a couple articles in the paper here and there.
Yep.
Went right by the wayside. Nobody fucking did batted an eye over that. They knew about this building up for months.
Yep.
Nobody did anything. And now you look at Putin, okay? I want you to pay attention. I want you to do this one thing for me.
Sure.
Look at him when they show him on TV and he's getting ready to address. He has a different look on his face and his eye.
Yep.
I believe the man is snapped on some levels. I really do, because he just doesn't look normal. He's got a different look on his face that makes me to think that he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care about fucking sanctions.
No. He doesn't.
That doesn't fucking do nothing.
Well, the problem is they had to have started those sanctions a lot earlier, and he knew they were coming. He knows exactly what's going to happen. The only thing that Biden can do right now, other than the sanctions and getting NATO rallied, get all these countries and put some people in Poland and some of these other NATO countries around him, just so he says, whatever you're doing in Ukraine, we're going to pay the price for it. The big thing that he can do right now, Jeff, and probably the only thing that he can really do that'll make a difference is, one, take the federal gas tax away. That'll drop prices. And start pumping oil in the United States again. Pump oil here. Make us energy independent like we were 2 years ago. And because what's happening is Putin wants us to feel it economically. And right now, the only way he can really do that, because we import 500,000 barrels of oil each day from Russia, where a few years ago we weren't doing anything with Russia because we were energy independent. We had our own fuel. But since Biden put the stop to that, all he could do right now is say, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to turn on the faucet. We're going to start pumping oil here. We don't need your oil. Take care of yourself. That'll put a big smack in their face. And then the only thing he could do is play defense a little bit, or even a little offense, and say, put NATO, not just America, and put NATO in Poland and some of those surrounding countries and say, all right, you're doing what you're doing. You're going to pay the price for money. And if you even remotely step on these soils, we're going to smack the crap out of you. That's the best he can do.
Well, listen, you got to remember something. You're dealing with a nuclear superpower, too, so you need to be fucking...
So are we. Nobody... Jeff, the biggest thing I can always say is peace through strength. If Trump wasn't the greatest guy in the whole world, but he went out there and said, hey, listen, do what you got to do, but if you mess with us, I'm smacking you. And a couple of those guys did, a couple of those Middle Eastern guys did, and next thing you know, they were dropping bombs from 4,000 miles away and blowing them up in their car driving down the street, and all of a sudden everybody was nice and quiet. It's peace through strength.
Yeah, but you know what, Tom? Comparing the two is like comparing...
Oh, I agree.
Puppies to lions. First of all, the Middle East, okay? There's not a country in the Middle East that's going to come anywhere near our mainland.
Correct. Okay?
So it doesn't matter. You could beat the fuck out of them very easily. So Trump did nothing worthwhile there because they're not going to do nothing. This is a different situation where if this guy did snap and he just wants to start throwing nuclear bombs...
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot more than just, okay, we bombed a general here and there.
No, I agree with that. But what Trump did, was, and if you watched, during those 4 years, China, Russia, North Korea were nice and quiet. They didn't do anything. In fact, most of the experts will tell you that Trump and Putin had a decent relationship to the point where they respected each other, and Putin wasn't going to mess with Trump. Now, after what we did in Afghanistan and the way things happen with your boy Joe Biden, the problem is Putin has no respect for him. And right now, he's kicking the tires to say, let me see what this guy's going to do. And
he can't do nothing. The guy looks like he's going to fall asleep.
I agree with you. No, I agree.
He has no idea. And you know, I understand what you're saying.
Yep.
But you know what? Listen, I was told today that Trump and Putin had business together within the Russia itself. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I don't think so. Never heard that one.
They're not going to step on one another's toes, without a doubt. And everything that you're saying about the Middle East, Tom, there's been bombs flying in
the
Middle
absolutely.
East for 100 years. It does not matter. I could be president and there'll be bombs flying in the Middle East. It means nothing.
No, but you. But again, at the very least, listen, yes, you're 100% right. Trump said it. I'm getting out of here because they've been killing each other for 1,000 years. They ain't going to change. But what he did was he told Iran, basically, if you mess with us, I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth. So do yourself a favor. Blow up whoever you want to blow up. You ain't blowing us up, and you ain't going to do anything to us.
20 years ago, when they went after fucking Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
Okay? And they said to him, do you have weapons of mass destruction? And he wouldn't answer.
Yep.
Okay, one, he couldn't answer, because if he did, then the rest of the region knew that he was nothing to be feared. Okay?
Yep.
Just like Iran. Iran could say whatever they want. They know what they have and what they don't have.
Yes,
absolutely. One thing they don't have is the capability of reaching us.
No.
And that's why they never did anything to Iran.
No.
You know, did they give them a nice cushy deal? Unfortunately, yes,
yes.
They did. They
yes.
gave them lots of money.
Too much.
And everything
yes.
else.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much.
Yep.
But you know what? Israel's over there, and if you don't think Israel isn't watching Iran,
yes.
Iran, who do you think you're going to hit first? I'll say Israel.
Oh, no. That was the idea, was we were protecting Israel. Israel is one of our closest allies, and they basically said, you can mess with them easy, but you know, if you do, you won't be hit tomorrow.
But if they did choose to mess with Israel, Israel wouldn't even wait for us to get over there. They'd
yeah.
be chomping at the bit.
Oh, absolutely. This will not affect our soil from a war standpoint. He wants the countries back, Putin, I'm talking about. He wants the countries back that the Soviet Union gave away, you know, 30 years ago when they broke it all up. Is he going to get it? No, he's not. He's never going to get it. But what he wants to do is send out a message and piss in somebody's pond. And, you know, a lot of what's going on right now, Joe Biden's, you know, because this means nothing to me.
It ain't going to take long to take over fucking Ukraine.
Oh, no. At this point, I would tell you 3-4 days, I would imagine this would all be over for the most part.
Did you know that the Klitschko brothers are signed up and are ready to go?
Oh, really? Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah. One of them is the mayor in Kiev.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I forget which one, Vladimir, I think it is.
Okay.
And he already said that, you know, when it's he's ready to go. And his brother is, too. And a bunch of other... Ukrainian boxers have said, you know, that they'll come back and go back and fight. I actually work with a guy who's from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
He was born a couple miles away from Chernobyl, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and since this started, I'm hoping that he gets a little misty eye for the homeland and goes home. A little fight for ghosts of family past or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I think the best thing that Joe Biden can do is say, you know what, screw you. We're going to turn the pipelines back on, and we're not buying any more oil from you, and we're going to go back to fracking and all that stuff. And you know what? If it doesn't affect us at the pumps, America's not going to care, and Putin's not going to care. But I think the biggest thing coming out of this right now for me is China. China's watching to see what we do. Because the next thing China's going to do is move on Taiwan in the next year or two. And they've
supposedly there was 9 Chinese fighter planes spotted over Taiwan today.
Yeah.
That's the last thing that they fucking need.
Right. So, yeah. And the problem with Taiwan is, you know, that is a territory that makes up all these computer chips for the cars and computers and all this stuff. So it's a big deal. But I think that's what this is doing. So if the U.S. and NATO and our allies don't respond to Putin, what you're doing is unlocking the door for China to move on Taiwan. And unfortunately, you know, listen, we got 3 more years of Biden and we're stuck with it. The Democrats are out. It's I don't think there's any question based on the fact that inflation's at, I think, 10% right now. Gas prices
are never going down.
Yeah.
They're never going down.
Yeah. The way things are going right now for the next few years, we're stuck with it. So to me, there's going to be a big turnover from Democrat to Republican over the next couple of years. And, you know, I don't know who's going to run for Republicans in 24. I don't think it's going to matter. Whoever does run should beat the Democrats. Otherwise, I'm moving somewhere. I won't move to Canada, maybe Mexico. I'm not sure. But anyway, it is what it is. I just wish those people good luck. And I hope if Joe Biden's got an ounce of balls, he just says the federal gas tax is out. That'll drop the price at the pump, and then we'll tell them, just come out and say, we're going to start pumping Aurora.
Even if he drops that, it's not going to drop the price that much.
Well, it's enough to get started, but no, you're right. What he's got to do is he's got to turn on the Keystone pipeline. He's got to start fracking, and he's got to let people – they just stopped people from pumping. They shut down all permits for gas pumping or oil pumping on federal land. If he opens up all those things, the gas prices will drop back to where they were a year ago. That's all he's got to do. And our gas prices are back to two something a gallon. And what he's doing is he's pissing on, because right now what they want is Ukraine back, but he also wants there to be a lot of pissed off people in the U.S. who are disenfranchised. And that if people start going to the pump, Jeff, and they're paying $4.50 or $5 a gallon, and they're having a hard time getting gas, you're going to have a very, very bad morale in this country. That's what you don't need right now.
No, of course not. But yep. You know what? Here's the best thing that Biden can do, and he can do it.
Go ahead.
Okay? Well, I mean, it should be done. I shouldn't say that he could do it.
Yeah.
It should be done.
Go ahead.
Everything you're saying about the gas is 100% right. Okay, the United States, I believe, has one of the biggest reserves of oil in the world.
100%.
We don't even tap.
Correct. Strategic reserve, yes, absolutely.
Who gives a fuck about a wild moose here and there, okay? You want to really stop Russia and everything that they're doing? Just turn around and be like, okay, you want Ukraine? I'm sorry. There's only so much that we can do. You stop fighting, we'll give you Ukraine, okay? We'll take their leadership and everything else. You do the right thing for the people, you can have them. And then become the biggest producer of crude oil.
Oh, absolutely.
By the world, and then just turn around and undercut everything that Russia.
100% right.
Okay.
Yep.
And just be like, they're selling it to you for $60 a barrel. I'll give it to you for $55 a barrel.
100%. Jeff, you couldn't have said it better, because right now he's been able, because Germany has been buying their oil. And because we're buying 595,000 barrels of oil from Russia every single day right now.
I know, but you know why we've been buying oil from other countries?
Because we stopped buying, we stopped producing it ourselves.
Not only that, but there's a reason why.
Okay, why? I'm not sure
it's
about.
It's actually cheaper to buy the oil from other countries than to dig it out and refine it ourselves.
Yeah, but then why? Okay, and I don't know that for a fact or one way or the other. If that's the case, why when we were energy independent 2 years ago was oil, I think the average price was like $2.25. Now we're buying it and we're paying almost $4 a gallon.
Because right now, the other countries,
mm-hmm.
if they decide to slow down production
mm-hmm.
or whatever, or if they're pumping out 1 million barrels a day and they decide to cut down to 750,000 barrels a day or 500,000 barrels a day, it drives the price up. And if I know that you need something, you need oil. Okay, and it's the winter time.
Yep,
you need oil. Well, Tom, I'm going to be cutting production soon.
Yeah,
okay, I'll give you $70 a barrel.
Yeah, well, actually, he went and begged OPEC to start producing more oil, and they went, "Nah, we're not going to do it." Meanwhile, we've been protecting the Saudis for years, and they basically said, "Fuck you." So, listen, I agree with you. Simple.
But you know something? You know what's going to happen now? OPEC could turn around and just wait this one out. Because
absolutely. Sure, of course.
And they could just turn around and wait out as long as they want. And then when the time is right, we'll start selling, producing oil again and selling oil again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts at $150 a barrel. And what are you going to say? Mm-hmm. You can't turn around and say no.
Yep.
And they have a lot of people say about the reserve that the United States has.
Yes.
That they should tap into the reserve.
Absolutely.
That would just be like pissing in the ocean. It's not going to do anything.
No, if you tapped into the strategic reserves, took away the federal tax on oil right now, even for short term, and then started up producing oil again in this country, you would completely undercut OPEC and Russia, and you would put harm on those guys.
That strategic reserve is only about a 3 month supply.
Not really. You know, again,
it's only about a 3 month supply.
Right, but you wouldn't need
more than one occasion. There's not that much to be holding over.
No, I got you, but that would allow you to get you would be able to at that point restart up the pumps. You'd be able to start the Keystone pipeline. You'd be able to start fracking again. that 3 months, Jeff, of the strategic reserves, and I agree, maybe it's 3 months, but that would allow you to drop prices a little bit, hold them steady, and then start producing your own oil where you go, all right, guys, we're paying $2 at the pump right now. Screw you. Kill each other out there.
I don't know how long it takes to actually drill and reserve.
Don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Everything else. Yeah. I don't know that.
Yeah, me either.
Process oil, whatever you want to call them, the situation, I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
But I do know that we have a 3-month supply. So if you were to take the 3-month supply of oil,
yep,
start tapping into it. So whatever you produce and you're using every day, that's one day's just to get back up to even.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use it for 10 days, the first 10 days, you're just getting back to even before you even start producing oil, refining oil that we need.
They
got to be careful with that.
Because, I agree. But Jeff, two years ago.
The price.
Yeah,
because all you're going to drop the price 5 cents, 10 cents a gallon, then don't do it.
No, I agree with that. I agree with you. But the big thing, though, is you need to hold it steady. I'm not telling you that you're going to drop it, but what you can't have right now is oil go to $4.50 a gallon. You can't go to the pump and pay $4.50. So even if you only drop it 10 cents, the key, though, is, Jeff, you can drop the tax. You can release the strategic reserves. Unless you're going to start fracking, unless you're going to start pumping our own oil, it's meaningless. And Frankie's right. He's playing to the tree huggers and the people on the far left who don't want to. And again, I'm all for getting away from fossil fuels. I'm okay with it. But you can't do it overnight. You need to come up with something that's going to work over the course of time.
There are so many different things that people don't realize when they say about getting away from fossil fuels that are just never going to work.
I agree.
Okay? At work. Just yesterday, they sent people. I was supposed to go. I got out of it, thank God. They sent people to go learn about a new garbage truck.
Okay.
Electric garbage truck.
Okay.
An electric garbage truck instead of a diesel garbage truck. Do you know how stupid that is?
I sound stupid, but tell me why it's stupid.
Well, we have the Nissan Leaf. I drive a Nissan Leaf at work because my phone is synced up to it. I get all my music and it's got air conditioning. And it's got seat warmers. As soon as I put the seat warmer on, the little gauge that tells you how far you can go drops like 10, 15 miles.
Okay.
If I use my phone in the car, it takes off the battery.
Okay.
Okay. If I run the air conditioner, it runs off the battery. It's all electric. Okay. The car has a range of about 90 miles. That's it.
Wow.
That's on a full charge.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which sounds like a lot, which really isn't.
No, it's not. It's not because consider 90 miles. That's if you're on the highway and you're going.
Yeah.
Okay. Now consider 90 miles and stop and go Staten Island traffic. When it's hot out, you got the air on. When it's cold out, you got the heat on. All that other shit. Okay.
Right.
But now take a garbage truck. I don't know what the range is. I'd be lying if I said what the range is. I don't know what the range is. But now put a load on the truck. Put weight on the truck.
Right.
A small 6-yard garbage truck is capable of carrying about 3,000 to 4,000 pounds of garbage, depending on how it's packed. It takes energy for that ram. There's a ram in the back of the truck that pushes the garbage out. And then the back of the truck lifts up. You dump the garbage out, puts it back down. Then you start putting garbage in, and it moves the ram. It moves the ram towards the front of the truck. So now that being said, that takes power. And if it's electrical power, you need to rev up the engine. When it's a diesel power truck, there's a thing called PTO, power takeoff. You put it on, it gives the truck a little extra RPMs, so it's able to run this system. Now you're going to be doing it with electric. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to be using the truck to carry garbage. They're going to be dumping the truck twice as often because they're not going to have the range on it. So when they're out there, they're not going to be able to get as much garbage. You're going to have to bring the truck back to charge it. It's going to be a calamity.
Yeah.
And they want us to be off of fossil fuels and be energy independent, electric vehicles by what, 2035 or something stupid like that? You know, that they're going to stop producing gas-powered vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid.
Yeah, I I'm okay with it, Jeff. If you say to me, hey, the next 20 years, we're going to develop a technology for electric, solar, wind, whatever it is, and we're going to wind down fossil fuels because it's better for the planet. I'm okay with that. But you're right. Right now, we don't have that technology.
Being okay with it is fine.
Yeah.
And you should want to do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay? But making it work is another situation.
100%. Right.
And it's not going to work.
I agree with you for a lot of it. Like, I don't believe, you know, if you talk to anybody who really knows about solar power for houses, the technology is not great.
You do construction.
Yes.
Okay. How many yards of concrete do you pour sometimes at a big job? You pour several hundred yards at a clip, right?
Well, I've actually, the most I've ever poured is 2,000 yards at a clip. But yes, on a regular basis, 200 to 300 is a norm, yes.
So, all right. So let's say that you're doing a big job. Let's call it 1,000 yards of cement.
Okay.
How much does 1 yard of cement weigh? You have any idea roughly?
Couple of tons. It's a ton, I think it is. Something like that. No, a yard of concrete.
1 yard of cement is a ton?
I think so. Something like that.
Okay, so let's say it's 1,000 pounds.
Okay.
Let's pull it in half.
Yep.
1,000 pounds. So now you're going to do 1,000 yards. 1,000 times 1,000. What is that, 10,000?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 10,000, you know, tons, pounds, whatever. How many different trucks? If you have an electric cement truck or battery-operated cement truck, how many tons is that thing going to be able to carry in one shot while they're sitting there waiting, they're idling to get into position and do their load, dump their load? How long does it take to dump their load?
Mm-hmm.
What about when one dies? How are you going to get out of the way? You can't just bring a battery pack and jump it and get it out of the way. You know what I mean? There's going to be so much involved, so much to think about and to plan for that I just don't see electric vehicles taking over the world. It just doesn't. I don't see it working. I don't.
No, I listen, I agree with you. All I'm saying for me is if you want to make the changeover to a different fuel, whether it's, you know, nuclear, solar, wind, whatever it is, do it, but do it over the course of time where you're not putting us in a position like, okay, fossil fuel's not the greatest, we got it, but it's the best we got right now. So take your time. Yeah, develop things, and then eventually you may get to that point. But to take us off the grid right now that way is only hurting us as a country and our economy and causing people to lose money. And I'm sorry, you know, for all these people who are tree huggers, guarantee you 99.9% of them fly on airplanes, have a big car or have a car that isn't electric, you know, who have home heating oil. So don't give me what's best, because what's best right now doesn't work. You know, so right now, that's what I'm saying. So, but getting back, and let's finish our conversation. If you want to hurt Putin, from our standpoint, is let him know you can't go to any other countries. Hit him in the pocketbook the best you can. But if you really want to hurt him, keep things running smooth here by producing our own oil and saying F you. That's the way you do it. But listen, is that going to happen, Jeff? Probably not. So
definitely not.
We're stuck in it. And all we can pray for is that we're strong enough to get ourselves to the next election. And I'll just say this, I've said this all the time, and I don't expect an answer back because nobody's going to answer it. But all you people who voted for Joe Biden and didn't vote for Donald Trump, I hope you are happy and you're satisfied. I root for Joe Biden every day. I don't expect much, and so far I haven't gotten anything to be to say he's done a good job. He's actually done a terrible job. But I hope you guys who didn't vote or who voted for Biden thinking just because I hate Trump, take a look at what you've reaped, because we're sowing it right now. So we'll move on from the political end.
Keep us moving. Go ahead,
do your thing. Hey guys, it's Hard Rockin' Sports. It's Jeff and Tom, as we are for the last 7 years and change. Coming up on 8 years, we're here every Thursday night, 7 p.m. starting, and we hope you guys enjoy what we do each week, and we're glad that a lot of you people come back each and every week and hang out with us for a couple hours. We're talking a lot of football, baseball. We just did about a half hour on world economics, which we don't really do a lot of around here, but that's okay. We kind of a thing, and whatever pops up. So we got about another 45 minutes of showtime. I don't know if we're going to go that long. I know Jeff's got an early start tomorrow. I am off, so I'm going to get a little bit of a later start tomorrow, but I got a lot of work to do in the house, and I'm going to see Elton John tomorrow night, and then possibly Saturday night I'll be hoping to go see my good friend Jim Galicchio and his band Radio Waves. I believe they're at Rosebank Tavern, so there's a good chance I'm going to hit Staten Island on Saturday night for a set or two of my dear friend Jimmy Galicchio and his band Radio Waves. So stay up on top of that. Hopefully I'll get to see a lot of you guys over at Rosebank Tavern for a really good band, and Jimmy's one of the best out there. So hopefully I'll see you guys all there. Let me know. But in the meantime, Jeff and I got about another 45 minutes talking sports, talking music. We're going to switch over to some music, then come back to sports to end the show. So stick around, hang around, and all that good stuff. And we're pumped to have you guys with us. Again, maybe Saturday night, a quick brief jaunt into Staten Island to see Radio Waves at the Rosebank Tavern. It's a possibility this week. And also, don't forget, my man Jeff hits the stage for the first. And Jeff, when was the last time you played a show, actual real show? Was it
past July?
Okay, so
2021.
All right, so Jeff's about to hit the stage March the 19th with his new band Deceiver. At Juicy Lucy. I think it's the Donnie Tranchina birthday show, along with Nick and Jedi and a Kiss tribute band. So make sure you guys hit Juicy Lucy on March the 19th. I'm going to try to be there myself.
It looks like an 11 o'clock start for that.
Oof. Wow. You
know, for Deceiver.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's
first band going on at 10.
I hear you, Jeff, on your message. I'd love to see Jimmy. I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you
can't
more. I got you. I have a hard time myself.
Guess what? Somebody else was giving me flack the other day.
About what?
Said something. I was advertising a show, or I said something, and they were like, "Oh, it would be nice to see you out once in a while."
Oh, somebody in that band?
No. Somebody that a hanger-on.
A hanger-oner?
Hanger-oner.
Okay. Actually giving you grief?
You know who they are.
Okay. I was going to say, somebody giving you grief?
Yeah. Somebody giving me grief.
Wow.
It's like, you know, listen, you don't know me that well, that's one thing. Two, guess where I'm Sunday morning? When you're laying face down in your own drool, drowning, okay, I'm getting up, I'm at work.
Uh-huh.
I'll be there at 6 a.m. I'm up at 4:30, okay, on a Sunday. Saturday nights, for me, a big Saturday night is finding something on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel. Me and the dog like, oh, this is cool. Let's watch this while we're waiting for my wife to come upstairs.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, you know, don't give me shit like, just carrying on from, fuck you and everything else, you know. So I know where it comes from. And guess what? I will never, ever go out on Saturday night. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I'm a big homebody now, and to go to a show is a lot for me. You know, especially after my week of working and getting up every day at 4 o'clock and getting home at 6 o'clock and you know prepping for the show and everything else. It's hard on the weekend. I have to be honest with you. It's got to be for a special reason. Now I'll say this: if I never go to a show, that's my business, and whether I decide to pick a show or two a year and see a couple of buddies play, that's my right. And if I was in a band and said, you know what, hey, I don't go see anybody else's show, but I'm going to play a show and I want you to come, then just don't come. If I don't support you and you don't want to support me or what I'm doing or what Jeff's doing, don't do it. You know, that's the part I never understand, Jeff. You know,
the best part is that, you know, that there's some people that say this and throw their fucking shit out the window and, you know, you don't come out, you don't do this, you don't do that. Yeah, but it's the same people coming to see you guys.
Right, yeah.
Okay, you know.
I got you. I have no, you know, I drove in a car for a while with some people who were annoyingly that way. And I just say the same thing. If you're not being supported by me, then when I do something, don't support me. I make no beggings of people. Here's what's going on.
First of all, it's not that you're not supporting people.
Right.
It's not that you're not supporting
people. What would you call it?
Well, what I call it is life.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
And if life dictates that you work on Saturday or Sunday or whatever like that, because you need to have a job because mommy and daddy said you can't live here with your wife and your kids anymore and you need to move on, that's what you need to do.
Right.
Okay, and if you need to work 4 to 12 because that'll give you the money that you need to survive and get the things that you want, or midnights or you have to work a part-time job or whatever it is, then you need to do what you need to do. Because I don't know about you, Tom, but I've never once had anybody say, hey, give me a bank book, and they've gone to the bank and put money in it for me.
That's
that
true.
Never happens.
No, it doesn't.
It happens every other week when I'm working and I get paid.
Right.
And I do it. Then I say it happens. But, like, you know, these other people that, like, you don't work on weekends. You work Monday through Friday. You could go out on Saturday and Sunday. You don't have to worry about being hungover or whatever. You don't drive. You don't have a car. So you got people driving you elsewhere. You know, it's just, it's amazing. It's just, you know, knock it the fuck off. You know, if I don't come out, I don't come out. That's all.
No, I agree. And again, I you know, we've played a few, again, I've played a bunch of shows in my life, all with you. I would say at this point, we probably played 7 or 8 shows together over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. I've never begged anybody to come. I just say, here's what we're going to do and come. And I've kind of supported some shows. I can't say I've gone to a ton, but I do the best I can. And, you know, if I don't support you, I just never got into the whole war of words. And you know what I'm talking about, with people who get so offended that people don't come out to see bands who play every single week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I'll say this. I would try to go see every Iron Maiden show ever because they come around once a year, once every couple of years, Jeff. When the band's out there every single week, you go, I'll see him another week.
Well, look, it doesn't matter. I make time and a half for myself. I can only speak for myself.
Absolutely.
I make time and a half if I work weekends.
Yep.
I'm not giving up time and a half.
I don't blame you.
Are you going to tell them at the door, oh, he's coming, so waive the fee? And by the way, here, give him a ticket. Let him buy a beer.
Yeah.
Beer and entrance is on me.
Yeah, you know? I agree with you, Jeff. I agree.
Or how about this? Club owners, please, feel free to let the band start at fucking 8:30, 9:00.
Well, that's the part I never understand. You know, I understand 30 years ago when we were 20s, you know, not going on till 11 o'clock. But, you know, we're all in our 50s, man. I mean, let's have a 9 o'clock start. 8:30 starts a little easier, no?
Of course. Of course, I agree. I 1,001% with you. You know?
Yeah.
Let's have it, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand that at all because, again, most, to me, the first thing I say is what time you start. And when it's 11 o'clock, I'm like, all right, somebody's got to, on a Saturday night, I'm going to sit in my house until 9 o'clock, then try to get up, drive to Staten Island, to see a show at 11 where I'm on a normal time on a Saturday night, by midnight, I am probably snoring on a couch.
Yeah.
So, listen, it is what it is, but, you know, listen, Saturday night radio waves over at Rosebank Tavern. If you're out there, go see my good friend Jimmy Galicchio do his thing. And, of course, please support my man Jeff and his new band Deceiver, March the 19th for the Donnie Tranchina birthday show. Jeff, will you be inviting any of the boys on to promote the show beforehand? Do you want to have a couple of the guys or Donnie on, kind of do a little promotion in the next couple of weeks? I'll leave that to you.
I can ask them, but I don't think these are the kind of fellas that
want to pop up.
Not that you don't want them on. I mean, they're good guys. You're going to do the radio thing.
We had Donnie on a few years ago. Donnie was a guest on the show a few years back. So
I could always ask him.
It's just a way to promote the show. If he's not, you know, again, no big deal. I just figured I'd ask if you want to have one of the boys, a couple of the boys on, have a couple laughs and promote the show. You know, you're more than welcome to do that here. No big deal. We'll just promote it ourselves, you and I. Jeff, lots of stuff in the music world starting to heat up again. A couple of big stadium tours, if you can imagine. I heard that Metallica is doing a couple of stadium shows in the U.S. this year. One of the big shows out there, let me play a little promotion for you. Would you mind if I played you a little promotion?
Go right ahead, please.
Let me know if this concert means anything to you, Jeffrey.
It's really happened. It's on.
No.
Yeah. It's on.
Well, Jeff, I just figured I'd play a little bit of that promotional for the big stadium tour that's been talked about for over 2 years now. The return of Motley Crue, who will be second on the bill to Def Leppard. Poison joined jumping in there. And Joan Jett. It's like the 80s exploded all over the stage, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know who I feel more sorry for, to tell you the truth, in that thing, man. There's a reason, there's a genuine reason to feel bad for every single act involved in that. And I'll real quick,
Joan
Jett, I thought you were done. I thought you were done and finished. I feel bad that this is how you're going to, I mean, Joan
Jett, on the bill.
You're 60, and this is how you're going to plan spend your summer. Then I feel bad for Poison. Who cares? Who cares? I don't even think CC DeVille is part of Poison anymore.
No, the whole band's back. I believe they're all four guys are back. Yes. Original band. Yeah, original band.
Then you got Motley Crue. You lied.
Yes.
You lied to us.
I agree.
You lied to us. You signed documents and papers promising never to do this again.
Yeah.
And here you
for good reason, though, like they suck in concert.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Neil is tripled in size. Mick Mars may be the missing link between man and the first fish to walk out of water. You look what this man looks like.
I think he's part tree.
Tree or mummy or whatever. Yeah. And then you got Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Good God, man. What the fuck? What the fuck? Just five guys in the band. You got nine arms. It's bad.
But now let me ask you this question, though. They have sold 1 million tickets for this round of shows, 36 concerts through the summer, all over the country, stadium. You know, I would say, Jeff, I'm agreeing with you on the whole thing, but you got to give it that they've been able to sell out a million. Now, again, took four bands, four large 80s bands to get to this point, but they did sell 1 million tickets.
You're talking four bands.
Yep.
Okay, four bands from 1980 to sell 1 million tickets.